Thank you, Madam President, and good afternoon. As the President has just indicated, the Assembly is asked to take decisions on a number of practical matters regarding the procedure for the election of a Director General tomorrow. These are set out in the note of the Legal Counsel, document 70/4, and I'll go through them in three steps. Firstly, I'm going to provide some information on a number of aspects of the process that we are following for the election. Secondly, I will explain the proposals that the Executive Board has made as to how the voting should be conducted, including the amendments to the rules of procedure that the Board has recommended that the Assembly adopt. And then thirdly, I will run through the procedure that we will follow concerning the actual conduct of the vote tomorrow. So firstly, let me provide you with some information about certain aspects of the process that we are following. These are set out in paragraphs 6 to 22 of the note by the Legal Counsel. In the interests of time, I won't go through them all now, but let me draw your attention to a few key points. The election will take place tomorrow afternoon. The meeting at which the election takes place will be a private meeting. That means that attendance is strictly limited to delegations of members, representatives of associate members, the representative of the United Nations, and the Secretariat. Attendance for each delegation is limited for practical reasons to 4 members of the delegation, and each delegation will be issued with 4 access badges. These badges are transferable between members of the delegation, but the maximum of 4 members of the delegation may be present in the Assembly Hall at any one time tomorrow afternoon. Badges will be available for collection tomorrow morning from a desk outside the Assembly Hall through the doors behind you. Please note that these badges only give access to the room. They do not of themselves confer a right to vote. The meeting tomorrow will begin at 2 p.m., when the 3 candidates nominated by the Board will address the Health Assembly. Now, please note that this is a change from what is contained in the note by the Legal Counsel, which envisaged that the statements will be made in the morning. They will now be made at 2 p.m., just before the voting begins. Each statement will be limited to 15 minutes, and there will be no questions and answers. The President will in a few moments decide the order of the statements by drawing lots, and the statements will be webcast on the web. At the secret ballot, each member state has 1 vote unless its voting privileges have been suspended by the Health Assembly. Those delegations, those 5 delegations whose voting rights are currently suspended, should know that it is not too late to rectify this. Please see the controller or the finance staff who can give you information about what is needed to restore your voting privileges. I should also mention that, as the President has explained, the Credentials Committee will report this afternoon. They will give you up-to-date information on the state of registration for the conference, but I can tell you that from the Secretariat's records as it currently stands, there are 5 member states that have not presented credentials for this assembly, and a further 3 member states that have presented only provisional credentials and who are still to provide the originals. Within each delegation, the chief delegate is entitled to vote on behalf of his or her delegation. He or she may designate another delegate or an alternate to vote on behalf of the delegation. But please note that an advisor may not vote. The conference badges of the chief delegate, delegates, and alternates within each delegation are marked with 2 orange stripes. Please note this is another change from what is contained in the note of the Legal Counsel, where we envisage that those stripes would be red. In fact, as you will see, they are orange. In any event, you must have a badge with 2 orange stripes on it in order to be able to cast your delegation's vote tomorrow afternoon. When we proceed to the vote tomorrow, the rules envisage the possibility of more than one round of voting may be necessary. The Director General must be elected by a clear and strong majority of the members present and voting. What constitutes a clear and strong majority is defined differently according to the stage of the election that is reached. The majorities required for each round of voting are set out in Rule 108 of the Rules of Procedure and are reflected again in the note by the Legal Counsel, and I will explain them more fully tomorrow before the vote. Once the voting has concluded and a Director General has been elected, the decision will be announced in a public meeting, and the Director General elect will take the oath of office and will sign the contract at that meeting. He or she will also have an opportunity to address the Assembly then. Let me now move to the proposals made by the Executive Board for the conduct of the vote. These are set out again in the note by the Legal Counsel at paragraphs 24 to 29. Firstly, as the Executive Board Chairman has just reminded us, the Executive Board recommended that the Health Assembly use a paper-based voting system to elect the Director General. The Board did so after having considered the outcome of a report on the security of the electronic voting systems that the Secretariat had tested. Secondly, the Board made a number of proposals as to how the efficiency of the paper-based voting system could be improved. You may recall that on previous occasions, when the Director General has been elected by the Assembly, there has only been a need for one round of voting in the Assembly. And that's because only one candidate was proposed by the Executive Board. Things are different now. With three candidates and the possibility of multiple rounds of voting, the Executive Board made a number of proposals to reduce the time taken to conduct each round of voting in the Assembly. Previously, a round could take as much as 3 hours, a whole morning or afternoon session. The proposals are set out in the table in the note of the Legal Counsel. Essentially, the Board's proposals have three aspects, and those of you who came to the mock vote that we carried out on Friday afternoon will have seen them in practice. Firstly, the Board proposed that voting should take place simultaneously at six voting stations set up at the front of the Assembly Hall in front of you, rather than at one voting station as was in the past. Each voting station would have one ballot boxes, so six ballot boxes in total, and delegations would be called to vote row by row at the voting station in front of the block in which they are seated. Secondly, the Board proposed that six tellers be appointed rather than two, and that one be positioned at each of the six voting stations together with a legal officer. The legal officer will distribute a ballot paper to each voter as they arrive, and the voter would then complete the ballot paper and place it in the ballot box. Thirdly, the Executive Board proposed that after all the votes have been cast, the six tellers each carry a ballot box to the rostrum and place them on one of three tables which will be set up here. At each table, two tellers will open two ballot boxes, count the votes, and record the result on a record sheet. These record sheets are then collated by the tellers to produce the overall result. Now, the Secretariat estimates that if these proposals are implemented, the time to conduct one round of voting will be reduced from about 3 hours to approximately 80 minutes. The mock vote on Friday was, as I said, conducted on the basis of the Executive Board's proposals, and each round took little over an hour. Now, in order to give effect to these changes, the Executive Board proposed some minor amendments to the rules of procedure of the World Health Assembly and the guiding principles for the conduct of elections by secret ballots. These proposed amendments are set out in Annex 4 to the note by the Legal Council. These amendments are necessary for three reasons. Firstly, Rule 78 of the Rules of Procedure of the Health Assembly provides that where a ballot is required, two tellers be appointed by the President from among the delegations present to assist in the counting of votes. An amendment is necessary to allow the President to appoint more tellers, in this case, six. Secondly, the guiding principles for the conduct of elections by secret ballot refer to the ballot box in the singular. An amendment is necessary to allow more than one ballot box to be used. Again, in this case, it is proposed that six ballot boxes be used. And thirdly, the guiding principles for the conduct of elections by secret ballot require that members be called in turn to vote in alphabetical order, beginning with the name of a member state which has been drawn by lot, and that the call be made in four languages. An amendment is necessary to allow the Assembly to decide to call members to vote in a different manner, in this case, row by row, starting at the front row. If the Assembly agrees, these amendments will be made in accordance with Rule 119 of the Rules of Procedure, and they will come into force immediately. The Board proposed a draft decision to address these issues. The draft decision appears at paragraph 45 of the note by the Legal Council, and it decides three things, namely, one, to use a paper-based voting system for the appointment of the Director General, two, to implement its proposals to improve the efficiency of the conduct of the secret ballot, and three, to adopt the amendments proposed by the rules of procedure and the guiding principles. In addition, the Assembly is also asked to confirm the practical arrangements for tomorrow's vote so that everyone is clear and agreed in advance as to how we will proceed tomorrow. These are set out in paragraphs 30 to 44 of the note by the Legal Council. And I should say that these are based on previous practice and on the rules as adjusted to take account of the proposals recommended by the Board. Let me briefly run through these practical arrangements. After the opening of the meeting and the statements by the candidates, I will make a presentation to explain the procedure. The President will then appoint six tellers from amongst the delegations. There have already been consultations with regional coordinators to identify suitable candidates to take this on. One teller and one legal officer will be assigned to each of the six voting stations that will be set up in the front of the Assembly Hall. Before opening the vote, the President will ask the tellers to verify that the six ballot boxes are empty. One ballot box will then be placed at each of the six voting stations, and the President will ask the Secretariat to distribute the requisite number of ballot papers to each of the six voting stations. The names of the candidates will be written on the ballot papers in alphabetical order of their surnames in English. A box will be placed next to each name, and voters vote by marking the box next to the name of the candidate for whom they wish to vote. Upon the signal from the President, the voting will be opened and delegations will be invited to vote at one of the six voting stations at the front of the Assembly Hall. They will be invited to come forward row by row, starting with the front row. Each delegation will be invited to send one person to vote. If that person is not the chief delegate, it should be another delegate or an alternate. They must present their conference badge to the legal officer at the relevant voting station, who will verify both that they represent a member entitled to vote and that they are a person capable of being designated to cast the vote of the member concerned. A record will be made and the ballot paper will be provided. The voter will be invited to vote behind a shield placed on a table set up at the relevant voting station, and I will explain tomorrow how the ballot paper should be completed. Members are invited to ensure that their delegation is present in the room before voting commences. However, if necessary, a delegation that is present in the room but has missed its turn to vote may still vote at the relevant voting station at any time before the President declares the voting closed. Once the President has declared the voting closed, the six tellers will each carry a ballot box to the rostrum here and place it on one of the three tables which will have been set up. At each table, two tellers will open a ballot box and count, each open a ballot box and count the number of ballot papers inside. They will verify that this corresponds to the number of ballot papers issued in the two seating blocks concerned. They will then count the votes and record the results on the record sheet. One teller from each table will carry the record sheet to the central table where the three record sheets will be transcribed onto a result sheet in order to reach the overall result. I will then take the overall result sheet to the President. The President will report the result sheet to the Health Assembly, reading out the number of votes obtained by each candidate. She will announce which candidate, if any, received the majority required, and if necessary, she will order a further round of voting. The President will then ask the Secretariat to destroy the ballot papers. Now, finally, as I've already mentioned, the rules provide for the possibility of several rounds of voting. In line with previous practice in the Executive Board, and in the event that there is more than one round, the Health Assembly may wish to decide in principle to meet in continuous session without breaking between rounds of voting, other than a short pause to prepare the room for the next round of voting. And with that, Madam President, I will conclude my rather lengthier than I had hoped remarks.